Let's pray, and then we'll read the scripture. Loving Father, thank you that we can trust you. Thank you that you're worthy of our trust. Thank you that no matter what comes our way, you have it. You're in control. You're going to see us through it. And I pray that our faith would grow in that area. Thank you for the privilege we have to assemble here in this building today. And it's, Father, you've, by your divine design, have brought the individuals that you would want here this morning, that you would want to hear, to have participating in our worship service, and we are grateful for that. Thank you for those that are online that cannot be here, and I pray your blessing on them as well. But Father, here we are, and we need you. We stand, I hope we see ourselves as desperate to hear from you and for your grace to fill our lives that we might live as we ought to live. There are some here today or online that have yet to understand what it is to trust Christ as Savior and to know that they have eternal life, having been released from their sins. I pray you would help them in that regard as well. But as your people that you've planted in this world at this moment in time, again, by your sovereign plan, we pray that we might be the people of God you've called us to be. I pray your word would go forth, that you would empower it through your spirit. Help me as I proclaim, the listener and myself both, as we respond in Christ's name. Amen. Again, I'm going to read 8 verses from Romans, the 13th chapter. And I want to just begin there. Romans 13:1. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God for you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. If you'll turn now to the book of Titus, that's where I won't have you really move from there this morning. I have some stuff on the slides, on the PowerPoint that I'll look at as well. Titus, the third chapter, verse 1 and 2. Titus 3, 1 and 2. Remind them, he's speaking of those believers there in this isle of Crete, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. I want to mention 2 Peter 1:13. Then I'm going to go to the text in 1 Peter that deals with authority as well. What I'm going to say to you guys today is something that many of you have heard numerous times. The Apostle Peter said this: I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. Often what the pastor does is he reminds the people of what they know. For some it's new, others you've seen it, you've heard it, and yet you need to remember it. We have studied this book, and it has answered questions, a number of questions that have been tremendous as far as ministering to our hearts, from what church leadership needs to look like to the qualities that those church leaders must possess. This book of Titus has addressed that. The book has addressed the roles of women, of men, young and old, all while answering the critical question, how we are to live in our societies. We were reminded last time we were together that last time I was here, that God's grace calls us to live godly lives in this present age. His grace, His help, enables us to do what to do just what we're called to do as we look for our Lord's soon return. Now, we've come to chapter 3. In this chapter, we're dealing with human government, with civil authorities. I think many of us, for many of us, this is an area of tension. It is for me. It's difficult to process this and to understand the Word of God, how to implement that, how my attitude and my actions should be as I live as a U.S. citizen right here, right now. And we've just come through a couple of years that have been challenging. And as we saw the pandemic, the orders and edicts that were given, those that were issued, the decisions that were made, with healthcare workers, with heroes and then zeros, and then all those things that took place, that was difficult, hard. But here we are, and I believe God has something to say to each of us. I do not stand up here today with all the answers. I do not stand up here today as a man that has it all together. I don't. But God does, and He has something for us. You know, we've been granted rights in this nation for what I'm very thankful. I love this country. But we are wise with those rights to exercise them and strive to maintain them. Freedom of speech, freedom to worship, and peacefully protest, those are ours. And this morning I'm reminding you of something that obviously many of you know. You've been here. You've understood that. I'm stirring you up, hopefully, in a way that God can use you in a powerful way in this society. First Peter mentions, I've given you a couple of texts in the New Testament that really talk about government and civil authorities. 1 Peter 2:13 to 15 mentioned that as well. You can turn there if you want. I have it here on the slide. Subject yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. We do strive to do right. Well, God has laid before us here in this text a lifestyle that is to be followed by those followers of Christ in response to His grace and the opportunities we have. And it begins with something that is, it's a word that, well, a lot of us just push back against. Remind them to be subject to rulers. Subject to rulers. We read subject, and immediately something happens within us, right? Maybe you guys can't identify with this, but I'll tell you, in my heart, I battle. If I'm walking on a sidewalk and there's a, I've used this illustration before, but it's so true. If there's a cut across to the next sidewalk and there's a little sign there that says, don't step on the grass, stay on the sidewalk. You know what I want to do? I don't have to tell you. That's the heart, see? That's the battle I have. I think I'm not the only one. But when it comes to submission, and we all are under authority, but submission to a ruler, authority, our response can be just the opposite of what God calls us to here. Subject, or be in submission, it has the idea to submit to one in authority. As Paul writes the letter, Nero rules the Roman Empire. He was a wicked, cruel, godless man. This is the situation the church was under and lived under. Near the end of his reign, Nero himself ordered his own mother put to death, followed that up by doing the same for his wife. Again, Paul and many Christians are living under this, and they would suffer under that. Paul ultimately would be martyred shortly after Rome burned by Nero or one of his associates. What I'm saying is this, if we think that we do not have to submit to authority because they are unrighteous, Are you listening to me? We are wrong, okay? We can't just say, well, you know, I know this about that political leader or this president or that person in authority, and because they're not followers of Christ, they're not conducting themselves righteously, we can opt out. I'll get to where we can opt out in a little bit, but the overall truth here is we cannot. There are times we cannot submit, and whereby believers have rightly refused, and again, I'll address that in a minute. But first of all, he calls us to be subject to rulers. And that really, there are two things that follow there. When you think about being subject, it is to rulers, it is to authorities. He says here, be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. Rulers, these would include kings, presidents, for us, those in high political offices. I need to address something here for a moment. It's important for believers to make their voice known. It is, to vote. We are stewards of light, brothers and sisters. We live in a country where we have the opportunity to vote and to make our voice known, and we need to do that. We need to be involved in politics. We need Christians in that realm. It's important that we do so. We need to be involved in our communities, in our area, in national politics as well. We have a stewardship that God has given us here. Not everybody has this privilege that we do. And we need to be involved where we can. However, I need to say something here. During my lifetime, I've heard statements like this. If so-and-so is elected, this nation is done. Our nation's done. And I've heard the opposite as well. Unless we get in so-and-so, we have no hope. Both of those statements are false, okay? Our hope is not in a political leader or a political party, although those are very important. Our hope is in the Lord. He is sovereign over this. If you were Pastor West doing a great job through the book of Jeremiah, but God allowed a pagan man from another nation to take his people and subject themselves to him. He brought discipline to them. And yet God's people still had hope. So I want to make sure that we understand that ultimately our hope is not in if we get the person in office that we feel needs to be leading our country, our cities, whatever. It's not there. Now, they obviously play a big part in what happens in our society. Their impact can be dramatic. However, we are called to be salt and light in a world that needs salt and needs light. We are to be citizens that walk by faith on this side of heaven that declare the gospel and live as we ought to live. And the last time I checked, the power of the gospel changes lives. It changes nations. It changes the world. I believe that's why Paul is saying, listen, in this pagan society, to the believers there on that Isle of Crete, in that pagan society, we need to make sure we live as we should, but our hope ultimately isn't in the political realm. It's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. That's where it's at. And we need to remember that. What this nation needs is a movement of the Spirit of God, where men and women, boys and girls, families and communities are moved to faith in Jesus Christ, and believers are brought back into fellowship where they need to be. That's what we need. And you and I are part of this. We have a heart problem in this nation. We have a heart problem in this world. That's not hard to see, right? As we speak, there's a war going on. There's people dying today because of the wicked evilness of political leaders in the heart of man. God sent a Savior, not a politician. He sent a Savior. We have too long looked, listen to me, we have too long looked for the other. So we are to be subject to rulers. We are to be subject to authorities. Those would include those, again, the text, subject to rulers, subject to authorities. It would include those who are not as powerful as others, but local and city governments, perhaps you might think governors and so forth. I'm not sure where all those fall there. But the question will come, is there ever a time when God's people do not obey or bend the knee to governing authorities? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. We're limited to time, but Exodus 2, Moses was born as a male child. There was an edict in the land at that time to kill all the male children. But his mother and father, they abandoned that. They hid him. And you know, some of you know the rest of the story. Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were to bow to the image that was set up before them. And they would not. Remember the song, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, and they wouldn't burn. God miraculously protected them. Daniel went into a foreign land. If you read the book of Daniel, you'll see someone operating as they should under the authorities that he was under. In the first chapter, he requested, not demanded, he requested that he eat a different diet than the king did, and those wanted to be fed to them. He was granted that. He was a powerful, politician as a believer. And he couldn't find anything, any place in his life, those political opponents of his, to where they could say, aha, here's the problem. Of course, you know, there was a law. Finally, they said, well, if we're going to get Daniel and strike him down from his political power, we're going to pass a law. And those pagans did, that he wouldn't pray to his God, and he went on praying. And of course, thrown in a lion's den where their mouths were shut, he was miraculously rescued, and there is the rest of the story. Well, it's not just back in the Old Testament, the New as well. Is there ever a time when we must not obey those who are in authority over us? And there is, Acts 4, 18 to 20, this is Peter and John, when they had summoned them, that is the authorities, they commanded them, Peter and John and the others, not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. End of story, right? This is where we do not bow. This is where we do not bend the knee. Okay, this is where. And they didn't. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. You guys are judges. You judge this. What do you think? Is it best that we bow down to you or best that we bow down to God? And then he said, for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. There are believers meeting today across this world in direct disobedience to the governments they are under. China, underground churches meeting today. Iraq, Iran, there are others. For a while, believe it or not, this was happening in Canada, where churches said, you know what? We're going to meet. We're called to assemble. Canada, we came close to it here in the States. There were believers, too, that would not, and here's some other areas, you know, whether it's meeting, assembling, proclaiming Christ, it deals with conscience as well. There are believers that would not take the so-called vaccine, the COVID vaccine, because of conscience sake. And they were right to do that. If they can't do that in clear conscience, then they need to take that step. We had those that asked for some help with their exemptions. Everyone that I knew of, that we helped with an exemption to that, they were granted that exemption, praise the Lord. There are times when we must not bow. Those are, I believe, exceptions. And I want you to know, too, and this has to be said, that we're called to pray for those in authority over us. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. We're called to pray for those in authority over us. How many of you have prayed for your president this week? You don't have to raise your hand, okay? You should have. You should have. You say, what do we pray? I don't know. What do we? You can pray that he would seek God's wisdom and those around him would seek God's wisdom, that those who don't know him would be saved. We got a lot we can pray for, and we are called to pray. Do we believe God answers prayer? I think we do. Well, we ought to be praying. I remember a believer years ago came up to me and said, I wasn't a pastor then. Brad, I don't know how I can pray for that guy. Well, you can pray for that guy. God wants to do a work in his heart. And let's pray. We need to be doing that. Secondly, you guys love this message, right? I thought, you know, I'm coming back from vacation, and I'm going to just smack these guys with the word this morning. It's there. It's not comfortable, right? It's not. And I will say again, there's tension in my heart with these things. Sometimes I think I need to go this way, that way. We're called to be in subjection, in submission. We're called to be obedient. Look at verse 1 again. To be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. To be obedient. To be obedient to those who are in authority over us. It's worth noting that God is the one who has given us governing authorities. Do you realize that God in his sovereign oversight has set rulers in every nation who are ruling throughout history but at this present time? Vladimir Putin is in power because God has allowed it. God could take him out like that. God's got a plan. I don't know all of it. I think one thing we need to pray when we think about Ukraine, Russia, there are believers in both those lands and those lands all around them. Could it be that God is doing something here whereby the gospel is going to shine forth and many are going to come to faith in Christ? I wouldn't doubt that. We can pray that God would give those believers courage, that he would protect them, that he would allow them to declare the glory of the Lord, that they might be used in bringing others to Christ. There are missionaries in those lands. There are pastors. There are churches in those lands. And they're going through something that is horrific. So God has allowed that. I don't know all the reasons why. In our nation, our president, our vice president, governor, all of those, every state, all of those are there because right now, that is who he has set in place. Like it or not. That's who he set in place. Now, I don't know fully, and I don't believe we can know fully, nor can we grasp exactly what all his purposes are, what all his plans are. That doesn't matter. That's not up to us. But know this, he has a plan. He has a plan. There's a sense in which all of those in office, all those ruling, they are, in a sense, his servants. His servants. That's what we read earlier. Romans 11, 6, for because of this you pay taxes, for rulers are what? Servants of God. And we're not thinking that they rule righteously all the time, or that some of them are even coming from a biblical standpoint at all. But they've been placed in authority by God. A review of the history of God dealing with his own people, Israel, you will see that he many and most of the time had a pagan king leading that nation, a pagan judge, or an individual who had no regard for him. If you look at the kings of Israel, you don't find very many that were godly. But we are, again, to be obedient. Jesus said something about taxes, about those ruling over him. Matthew 22, 21. He was asked about paying taxes. They're in Jerusalem. He's in the nation of Israel, the promised area. And someone else is ruling it. And he's asked about this. Should we pay taxes? They said to him, Caesar's, then render to Caesar the things that... He asked, whose name is on that coin? He said to him, Caesar's. Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And again, that can be difficult. We're to be obedient. We're to be ready for good deeds. Look at verse 1 again. Be ready for every good deed. This would include, I believe, community involvement where we can. We are to be ready to for every good deed. Many of you here are involved in serving in one way or another in our communities. And I praise God for that, whether that is with an organization like the Lions Club, working and volunteering at the local school, many, many other areas where your godly influence and grace can be felt. That is important. That's really important. 3 weeks ago, maybe four, 3 weeks ago, I challenged you guys, each of you. We've come to, in this section, it's the latter part here, it's just talked about being involved in good deeds. Being involved in good deeds. And 2 weeks ago, I reminded you, for those that didn't involve yourself in a good deed, with someone you normally wouldn't involve yourself with, I challenge you again. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I know some of you have, and you've blessed others. Okay, look for an area. He says this when it comes to our communities. When it comes to looking at those in authority over us, we need to be those that are involved in good deeds, being a blessing to someone else. Ephesians 2:10, we know 2, 8, and 9, right? For by grace you've been saved and so forth. And it ends this way, and we often forget it. We, believers, are His, the Lord's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good deeds that He, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. We need to be involved, being a blessing to others. You'll be blessed to be that. Well, it goes on from there. Verse 2, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. To be truthful, to malign no one. Malign someone, it's to speak in such a way as to defame them. We need to watch our tongues. We need to be careful how we speak about those who are in leadership over us. It means to slander. That's what it means. For we believers, we cannot be involved in slanderous speech that's disrespectful to those in authority. You may not like who God has placed there, but we're still to be respectful. We recognize God has placed this person there. Here's where we must be careful in how we respond to those who hold different political views than we do. They are people, remember, that Christ died for. They're people that need to see the grace of God lived out in your life. You may disagree. There are people on a political spectrum that I couldn't disagree with more. But God wants to do a work in their life. We need to be careful how we speak to that. Our responsibility always, always, always is to glorify God. It's to glorify God. Now, the darker the world gets, the more opportunity we have. This was the same in Paul's day when he wrote to Titus. This was their culture. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This is where God placed them. It's no mistake that God has placed you here in this moment in time to declare His glory, to live for Him, to make a difference in this world. Pastor friend of mine, and this is where, I'll tell you, it's challenging to our hearts. Pastor friend of mine, it's been many years ago, he's one of the most godly men I know. Individual sitting in his service told me that there are two helicopters for the president to travel in, Marine 1 and I think Marine 2, if I got it right. Well, sometimes they'll have a double in one of the helicopters, so you really don't know who the president is, or some might say a dummy in one and the real guy in the other. And he said something like, well, it was a dummy in both of them. And the Spirit of God wouldn't let him rest with this. The next week he had to come and apologize to his congregation. Because see, here, there is a respect that needs to be given. And I appreciated his honestness with that. So we are to be truthful. We are to be ready. We are to be obedient. We're to be submissive. We also are to be courteous. Peaceful. It says, To malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. We are to seek peace with others, to be gentle. I hope that that speaks to the discussions that we have in these matters. As much as it is possible, we are to live at peace with all men. That's what the scripture tells us, Romans 12:18. Lastly, be considerate. Be considerate, and that's to all men. To all men. This has the idea of being non-contentious. Kindness and grace should mark the life of the believer as he lives in a society God has placed him in. I would say to all of us, be careful. Be careful with what you post online, what you say online. The last election, oh, if you were on Facebook, some of you left Facebook for a while, you'd had enough of that. Be really careful, because anything you say, first of all, you may not say something that's really good at all. You shouldn't be doing that. But anything you say, it can be turned and read 10 different ways, and I'm not sure how helpful that is. I'm not telling you to do that, not do that. I'm just saying be careful. Be careful. Kindness and grace should mark our lives as believers in the society he has placed us in. All societies, all those societies, as well as human governments that are ruling in those societies, listen, they're broken, they're corrupt, they're evil. Why? Because they have broken, corrupt, and evil people in them. That's why I want to say to you again, our hope is not in a political system. Our hope is not in our president, in our vice president, in our governor. Those are very, very important. Very, very important. But they're not the end all. The Lord is the one we look to. He is the one who rules over it all. He is the one that's capable of keeping us and helping us along. But again, I'm not saying we shouldn't expect a lot, but I'm saying let's be real. Politics, they're great Christian politicians for the most part. I'll tell you, politics is a dirty business. It's tough. It's tough. And those politicians, I'm thankful for them, but many of them are just broken, broken, broken. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, not even one. Not one. Not one. All of us are flawed, right? All of us are flawed. I guess this would be a great spot to say, you and I are flawed. And we are sinful and make sinful choices. Those choices end up making us, but there's a way of escape. All of us will stand before God one day. We will give an account of our lives. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, know this. You're in the same boat with all the rest of us. There's none righteous. All of us have sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. God says, don't lie, we've lied. He says, don't covet, we've coveted. But there is a way of escape, and you need to know it. God absolutely loves us. He sent a Savior, not a politician. He sent a Savior to save, and he wants to forgive you. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He didn't design hell for you and I. It was designed for Satan and his angels. He doesn't send anyone there, but by man's choice, man will choose that. I would encourage you to take the gift of salvation, escape the wrath to come. We would love to hear if you've done that. But it's all broken. We live in a broken world, a sinful world. The governments of this world are that way. Some much better, some much worse. That's the reality of it. So when it comes to our society, we need teachers, factory workers, doctors, nurses. We need healthcare workers. We need politicians. We need school board members. We need to be godly neighbors. We need employers and employees that are the type of people described here, making an impact for Christ in the realm that he's given you and I. May God grant us the grace, courage, and fortitude to do just that. Now, I'm going to let you guys wrestle with this. I've wrestled with it for 2 weeks. I'll let you wrestle with it. Seek the Lord. He'll guide us along. But here's really where I want us to go for this one, to really end up here. Strive to be good citizens without compromising your faith, okay? God has given the grace to empower us to be what we need to be, that what he calls us to, but be good citizens without compromising your faith. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for this word. And it hits hard, it's difficult, and yet, Father, you've brought it, and we need to respond to it. I pray you'll give us perfect wisdom in dealing with all these issues, these injustices that we see, these power plays that have gone on, those that have ruled over us. We've seen their lives, and that sometimes moves us to a place where I believe we can struggle. Help us to be the people you've called us to be. In Christ's name, amen.